Jonah chapter 3. Tonight we're going to consider a man on a mission. A man on a mission. Jonah chapter 3. Come listen to my tale of Jonah and the whale, way down in the middle of the ocean. How did he get there? Whatever did he wear? Way down in the middle of the ocean. A preaching he should be. At Nineveh, you see. To disobey is a very foolish notion. But God forgave his sin. Salvation entered in. Way down in the middle of the ocean. We're here, as we were this morning, looking at actual factual characters. This is actual factual history. We're approximately 700 years before the birth of Christ. Come listen to this tale of Jonah and the great fish. In chapter 1, the prophet Jonah, the son of Amittai, is called by God to go and preach against the wickedness in the city called Nineveh. Nineveh is modern day Iraq. And in chapter 1, God speaks to Jonah. In chapter 2, Jonah speaks to God. And he prayed out to God with seaweed tangled around his neck. In despair, in his willful disobedience, he's plunged in the depths of the whale's belly, in the depths of the sea, and he acknowledges that God, the God of heaven and earth, the maker and ruler of all things, he acknowledges that this God hears and answers prayer. The psalmist said, in my distress, I cried to the Lord. He heard me and he answered me. I wonder, have you ever in your distress cried out to Jonah's God? I wonder, was there a time, has there been a time or a season or a circumstance that calls you to cry out to the God who is the maker of heaven and earth? The psalmist said on one occasion, I lift up my eyes unto the hills. Where does my help come from? My help. Your help. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And so God graciously brings Jonah to the dry land. Look at the last verse of chapter 2. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. And then as we come to chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. A second time. And I'm glad that God comes to us a second time. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. Because God will continue to pursue us. You cannot run from God. There is nowhere to hide. That I've learned over the 40 plus years of being a Christian, that the simplest thing to do when you hear God speak is to surrender your all to him, to surrender your will to him, to submit to his lordship, to submit to his authority, and to be obedient to the authority of his word. Is God calling you to a specific purpose or task? Is he calling you to a specific place? What is God saying to you tonight? The exciting thing is this, and the truth of the matter is this, that every time God's word is opened and read and expounded, God is speaking. This is how God speaks. Sure, he can speak in a variety of ways, but this is how he normally communicates. A God who is speaking, he comes to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. If you were with us this morning, we had three key words as we considered Esther chapter 8, authority, passion, and love. Well, tonight we've got four key words. And because it's evening, and I know that we're still digesting our Sunday lunch, and we've been enjoying relaxing this afternoon, to try and keep you alert and awake, I've thought of four key words that all begin with the letter M. Here they are: man, message, miracle, mercy. Man, message, miracle, mercy. And these four words will help us understand Jonah chapter 3. God comes to a man. God has a mission for a man. And this man is called Jonah. And this man has been previously disobedient. And God's humbled him. And this man, Jonah, this prophet Jonah, has been humbled. And he acknowledges that salvation indeed only comes from God. And so God uses this man, this prophet, this reluctant prophet, Jonah. And here is the mission for this man. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Not your message, not your thoughts, because the Lord knows Jonah's heart. He knows the heart of every man. He knows the heart of every woman and every boy and girl. This same God who came to Jonah the second time knows you better than you know yourself. He knows your heart. He knows your intentions. He knows your desires. He knows your motives. He knows all things. Nothing can be hidden from him with whom we have to do. He knows. And he knows that deep down in Jonah's heart, he despises these people, these Assyrians. I wonder tonight, who do you deep down in your heart, who do you despise? Or you say, you've misunderstood us. The good folk here in Emmanuel, well, we love everyone. I remember that some years ago, there was a local surgeon in Prince Charles Hospital who stood up as a candidate in the general election. And I went to one of the election hustings and someone asked him what his policy was on immigration. To which he responded, I love them all. I love them all. Do you have a passion for people? Do you love people? Do you see people and love people as God sees them? Do you really believe that the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is able to transform any soul, any heart, any man, any woman? Do you really believe when you sing the vilest offender who truly believes in that moment from Jesus a pardon receives? Do you believe it? Ah, we say, yes, we do. I love them all. When I went to the church park in Merthyr in 2002, I had a congregation who said exactly that. I love them all. until I started bringing in the drunks and the addicts and the prostitutes and the con artists and the wife beaters and the cheats and the thugs. When they turned up, suddenly that love that was so boldly professed evaporated in the twinkling of an eye. Brother, sister, friend, God knows your heart and he knows mine. And furthermore, authentic, genuine love for people, folk in the world outside these walls tonight, they can sniff out an insincere Christian at 100 yards. They recognize, they somehow recognize authenticity when they see it. It's easy to play church, isn't it? It's easy to come along on a Sunday and sing the hymns heartily and to pray and to read and to be polite and to be well-mannered and to put on a front. And deep down, our hearts can be as cold and resistant to the things of God as they've ever been. I knew a friend, a non-Christian friend, who said once, the problem with Christians is they're all hypocrites. You'll never see me in church because it's full of hypocrites. To which I responded, there's room for one more. We're all hypocrites. And God knew deep down that in Jonah's heart, he despised the people that God was calling him to minister to. And so having humbled him in the great fish, having that fish spewing him out onto dry land, God calls again. Well, let's try it again, shall we? Go! Man on a mission. Where's God telling you to go? He may not be taking you out of Newport. He might be telling you to go to your neighbour and to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be not your neighbour. It could be a family member. It could be a dear friend. It could be one of those old school friends that you only meet twice a year in your reunions. Whoever it may be or wherever you may need to go, if God is saying go, then I've learned over the years it's far easier just to go. When God called Viv and I to Merthyr, Viv's a Neath girl. She's proud of it. Fair play. But she wasn't keen on going to Merthyr. Why would we want to go to Merthyr? Well, I knew nothing of Merthyr, apart from the fact that they used to produce Hoovers, washing machines. I knew nothing of Merthyr and its history. But God said, go. Man on a mission. But God equips us. He doesn't just say, go. All the best. He equips his people. He equips us with a message. A life-changing, a life-transforming message. A message that can bring life and hope. And peace, and joy, and thrill, a message of hope. Do you think people in Newport tonight need to hear a message of hope? Anyone? Well, that we're improving, Bernard, from this morning. We're up to 4. We only had 3 this morning. Of course they do. Not just in Newport or Cardiff or Swansea or Merthyr, but Wales. And God has equipped us and given us a message, a life-transforming, life-changing, life-giving message. And it's furthermore, he's given us the ability to understand it. That by his Spirit and in his grace, he opens our eyes. He opens our hearts. He opens our minds to understand the glory of the gospel. All that Christ has been able to secure through his death and resurrection. The gospel. Do you know the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? Have you responded to the gospel? Do you live out the gospel? Do you share the gospel? We are gospel people. And so the gospel of Jesus Christ saturates our hearts and our minds. That everything we do is motivated by the message of the gospel. What is the message of the gospel? Paul says this, writing to the church in Corinth. This is the gospel. Christ died for sinners and was buried and was raised again on the third day. That's the gospel. And so the message that Jonah is given from God is a message for the folk in Nineveh. But this is the message. What is the message? That he is to cry out against the people. 40 days. This is the proclamation. 40 days. And Nineveh will be overturned. 40 more days. Do you see God giving the Ninevites 40 days? What's he doing? This message that he was given to this man called Jonah is a message of grace. 40 days. You still have time to respond to this message. Time is quickly passing. As a young boy, I used to sing, "Don't let another day go by without the Saviour." Jesus Christ is coming again. Did you know that? We don't know when. We know how. But he's coming again. It may be morning. It may be noon. It may be evening. It may be soon. But the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. And you need to be ready. Are you ready to meet your God? On that day, every eye will see him. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God, our Father. 40 days, and then Nineveh will be overturned. That's the message. We need to tell people the truth, but we need to do it honestly, with compassion, with grace, with love, but we need to tell them the truth. Listen carefully. People who die without knowing Christ go to hell. People who die without knowing Christ go to hell. But, those that believe in the one whom the gospel speaks of, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not perish. That word believe, it literally means that everything that you know concerning who he is, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, that in my place he died, was condemned, and he sealed my pardon with his blood. And so on account of him, I hear this message, I believe this message, and I'm going to believe in him. So it literally means I'm going to trust him wholeheartedly. I'm going to bank everything on him. Because he is the only Savior. He is the only way. He is truth. He is life. This great city that took more than 3 days to get around. But when Jonah went, and he started into the city, he proclaimed the message that God gave him. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. That's 8 words in the English. If you're interested, because I'm full of useless information, ask my wife. If you're interested, it's 5 words in the Hebrew. 5 words. A message to a man from God. A man on a mission. 5 words, if you like, or 8 in the English. But 5 words that have the potential, 8 words that have the potential to transform not just a heart, not just a home, not just a family, not just a village or a community, not just a town, but a great city. And so, this man on a mission, equipped with a message from God, he is faithful in proclaiming that message. And thirdly, he then sees a miracle. The Ninevites, these wicked, wicked people, and they were, let me tell you, they used to do child sacrifices. That's how wicked they were. They were into detestable acts. Detestable, immoral, sexual acts, child sacrifices. They were as wicked could be. But when they heard this man with this message, they believed the message. And so Jonah witnessed a miracle. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, all of them, from the greatest to the least, and they put on sackcloth. This was an outward sign of inward repentance. My old pastor, as I was growing up in Gloucester, used to say that genuine repentance, biblical repentance, is godly sorrow. A change of heart that leads to a change of conduct. They put on sackcloth as an outward demonstration of inward repentance. They were sorry. They heard the message. They believed the message. They responded to the message. And they acted upon the message. What about you tonight? What are you going to do with this message? If you're not a Christian, then you need to repent of your sin. And that inward repentance will be seen in outward godly living. A change of heart that leads to a change of conduct. A change of desires will lead to a change of attitude. You'll become more Christ-like. But maybe you're a Christian here tonight. How do you respond to this message? You need to go with the message that God gives you. You need to live out this message. You need to be a man or a woman that is consistent in your Christian walk. When I went to Merthyr, one of the local councillors said, "What this town needs are practical Christians." What he meant by that was, I'm assuming that what this town needs are people who claim to be Christians who actually act like Christians. Because God knows your heart. So there's a miracle. And the miracle is this, that from the greatest to the least, there's genuine repentance. They put on sackcloth. The news even reaches the king of Nineveh. What does he do? He gets up from his throne. He takes off his royal robes. He covers himself with sackcloth. And he sat down in the dust and issues a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree, we've had a decree this morning. Well, here's another one. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. This is the equivalent of tomorrow morning, you're going about your work and there's a news flash. You're in the car and the radio presenter says, we've got an urgent news flash. Boris Johnson, outside the steps of 10 Downing Street, he wants to issue a statement. You could be watching, I don't know, Breakfast TV. There's a news flash. We're going straight to 10 Downing Street because the Prime Minister has a statement. And he gets up. Imagine this tomorrow morning. Friends, he says. England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, friends. We as a nation have sinned against God. Imagine that. And so today, I appeal to you all to stop what you're doing, to get on your knees, and to cry to God for mercy, that he might save us and our nation. That he might once again have the rightful place, that he'll be the preeminent one in all the affairs of this land and great nation. We proclaim a fast. We proclaim a day of feast, of fasting and prayer and a day of repentance. Can you ever imagine that happening? That sounds incredible. That would be miraculous, wouldn't it? You're allowed to say yes. That would be miraculous, Andy. That and more is what happened here. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. It loosed me from my bonds and set me free. What made it happen so? 'Twas his will, this much I know. Set me as now I show. At liberty. At liberty. Do you know there are some Christians, dear, dear Christian friends, who are looking for signs and wonders. Have you ever met anyone like that? They are Christian. They've been made alive again by the Spirit of God, but they're looking for signs and wonders. And Jesus, in speaking to the Pharisees, he told them, "Oh, you wicked generation. All that you are looking for, all that you are longing for, are signs and wonders." Well, I'm telling you, you've had it. Because you need to suffice with this. That just as Jonah, this is what Jesus offered them. Just as Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so the Son of Man, referring to himself, will spend 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And on that judgment day, the Ninevites will stand. They will be able to stand. Why? Because they recognize their sin, repented of their sin, cried to God, and salvation came to that city. Do you know the greatest miracle of all? The greatest miracle of all is when God raises someone who's dead and makes them alive. That's exciting, isn't it? When God takes someone who's dead and makes them alive. I once was dead, and he made me alive. I was dead in my transgressions and sins. I was dead, unable, incapable of responding to his word, to his gospel, to his message. But by his Spirit, he granted me the breath of spiritual life. And when I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest," I responded with godly sorrow, which is repentance. And by faith, I embraced the Saviour. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me your great salvation. So rich and so free. This man on a mission, equipped with a message, saw a miracle. And when God saw how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion upon them. They didn't know by repenting, they didn't know that God would save them. We do, but they didn't. But we know about mercy. You've already sung tonight about mercy. They didn't, but they experienced it. What does Scripture say? God saw that they turned from their evil ways. He had compassion and did not bring upon them the judgment, the destruction that he had threatened. Mercy. Mercy. We know about grace, don't we? That undeserved favor from God that we don't deserve. Grace. But mercy, he withholds from us what we do deserve, his judgment. Come with me for a moment by faith. Come with me by faith to Calvary. This is where wrath and mercy meets. What's happening at the cross? Look beyond the physical pain and sorrow and suffering of our Saviour. Look at the unseen work of God on the cross. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Listen, he takes my sin. He who knew no sin took on my sin, owned my sin. Bearing my sin, wearing my sin, and was punished because he owned my sin. Judgment, fire, wrath, fury of God fell upon him. Are you with me there? What do we see at the cross? Mercy. Mercy there was great. And grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty. Where? At Calvary. And so this man on a mission, equipped with a message, witnessed a miracle because of the mercy of God. And that's what Jonah chapter 3 is about. So come listen to my tale of Jonah and the whale. Not way down in the middle of the ocean, way down in the middle of the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. They heard the message from God. They believed it. They believed it. And righteousness by their faith was credited to their account. Now I ask you this tonight. If God is able to do that for Nineveh, Let's think of another place beginning with N. Let's be adventurous. Any ideas? What about Newbridge? I tease you. Newport. You're a city, aren't you? You're a wicked city. We live in, amongst wicked men and women. And when we encounter Christ, and when we encounter a holy God, we become so aware of our sinfulness. Woe is me, that I am a man of unclean lips. I live amongst the people of unclean lips. We live amongst people who are going to a lost eternity. But God sends his people on a mission with a message so that we might see the miracle of the new birth because of his mercy. 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 Let us never lose the wonder of God's mercy. What about you tonight? Are you in him? Are you in Christ? Are you saved? Are you living in him? Can you say, it's not I that lives, but it's Christ who lives in me. The Son of God who loved me gave himself for me. Are you saved? I've got good news for you. The Lord says, come to me tonight. Go to Jesus. And he will save you. Ask him to forgive you. Turn from your sin in repentance. And cry to Jesus for salvation. He can and he will. Why? Because of his mercy. Because of his grace. Because of his eternal love for you and for me. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father, we thank you tonight that you're a God who is still working in the hearts of men and women and young people. Thank you for all that you did through the prophet Jonah. And despite his unwillingness and his disobedience, you pursued him, you humbled him, you used him. And you pursue us, and you often humble us, and you want to use us. May we be ready and willing to serve you and to go where you want us to go and to be what you want us to be. May we be men and women on a mission, equipped with a message that we might see at first hand the miracle of saving grace, all because of your mercy. Hear us, have mercy upon us. Lord, when you look down in anger, please, Lord, remember mercy. And we give you thanks that you're still on the throne and you still remember your own. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.